New listings on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange have been few and far between. This year, though, we've had WeBuy Cars, which has shot the lights out. The next one that's coming on the 28th of November, just around the corner, is Boxer. And this is a forever stock, we're being told, by the retail analysts in particular. That means it's a company you buy the shares, put it in your portfolio, and don't worry about it. It'll deliver. So today we're going to answer the questions, the big questions that Sean Summers is, I think, has been applying his mind over the past year and a bit that he's been running Pick and Pay, came back to Pick and Pay. Sean, in a recent interview we had, you said the acquisition of Boxer, which is now 22 years ago, was the best deal you did at Pick and Pay. That's back in 2002. Who would have thought that Boxer's listing and the money that Pick and Pay is going to raise from it while retaining control would have been the savior of the business that you've inherited? I don't know if I'm putting it a little bit strongly.
Not at all, Alec. It was the reality that confronted us a year ago when we looked at the optionality and the options that lay in front of us. So to a degree, at a personal level, it was a sad thing because it was always wonderful to have Boxer as this beautiful business just trading quietly in the background with its light nicely hidden from the market, so to speak. But it really is just extraordinary that it is Boxer that's managed to save the day for us and put the oxygen back in our lungs.
And Marek Masojada is the chief executive of Boxer. Marek, you've been quietly trading in the background, as Sean was saying. Now you've been thrust into the forefront of the spotlight of the investment community. Have you gone for any particular training for that?
Morning, Alec. Look, it's definitely been a bit of a baptism of fire since Sean, sprung the news on me late last year, and definitely been going through a few mental adjustments, myself and the top team as we enter a more public space. But the leadership team here is very excited for the opportunities that the listing, potentially brings to Boxer as we emerge from below the radar, where we've been, kept hidden for the last 20 odd years. And, we do see positives around, the bigger exposure of the Boxer brand and access with other partners and stakeholders, particularly as part of our expansion strategy that we've been following for a number of years.
Okay, Sean. He doesn't sound like a retailer. He sounds like someone who's been really trained. And I'm sure that, Marek, you'll relax as we get into the interview. But let's just go back to when you arrived at Pick and Pay. You had three businesses that were doing okay. Well, very well, Boxer, a fantastic business. Clothing, which you've said was and is doing well. And then the online business. So you look at that, I guess, isn't there an option to say, well, let's sell the rest of Pick and Pay and just keep these good businesses? Did that ever enter your mind? Because if you've, what was that story about you should tend your flowers and remove the weeds? It looks like you removing some of your flowers and having to maybe fix the weeds.
Well, that's if you assume that Pick and Pay has turned into a weed, which I can assure you it has not. There are still so many pools of excellence in this company. As I said to you earlier before we came on live, I've just come from Benoni this morning, Oakfields, where Mario opened his store. And I mean, I was there at about 5:30, quarter to six this morning, and all of the staff there really singing. And I mean, store just unbelievable. Atmosphere amazing. So there's still so much good within Pick and Pay. So certainly the challenge that confronted us was that how did we ensure that Pick and Pay actually could survive this current journey that it's on at the moment and see its way back into the sunlight again? Bearing in mind that in a way it's almost analogous that if you have a look at the history of retail in South Africa, you've seen OK Bazaars come and go, went down to 1 rand. You saw Checkers similarly go through a cycle. So, for us in Pick and Pay, we look at where we are currently. We look at all of the souls that are attached to this business. I mean, there's 92,000 in total, you know, 31,000 in Merrick's endeavors, but then another 60,000 across the business. So, I mean, there's at least 5 mouths that we feed. So every night, 300,000 people sit down and have a meal at home. Children go to school. You know, people have aspirations, want to live, want to make their lives better. So it's not just about our endeavor. It's about all of the centers that we're in, the line shops, the landlords, the service providers, everybody, our suppliers. So if you take the whole network that survives around Pick and Pay, Alec, the job of saving this organization, I can assure you, is a lot bigger than it appears on the surface.
But why did you have to let Boxer go off on its own? And I'm asking this question as many people outside of the organization will be, who haven't followed the story, who haven't followed the debt that you had in Pick and Pay, and certainly the need for capital. Just unpack what went through your mind and how you explained this to the board.
I kind of simply look at it, and you know, families end up in the same situation as well. You know, you can have moneyed families, so to speak, who also all of a sudden end up in tough times where they're asset rich and cash poor. And that was Pick and Pay's situation, where our balance sheet was just completely misshapen. We had these extraordinary assets on the one side of the balance sheet, being Boxer, our clothing business. And on the other side of the balance sheet, we had Pick and Pay that sadly had turned into a thumping great liability through a whole lot of decisions that were and weren't taken in its past. So you just have to sit down unemotionally and say, well, what is the journey that lies ahead? Understand what has passed. How did you get there? And then you have to work out your options as to how you're going to go about ensuring that you do have enough oxygen in order to be able to survive as we get the company back into its rightful place. And that feeling, and that you can't just have, it's not a case of just having a blind belief from the past. You've got to be realistic about these things as well and ask yourself, well, what are the chances of actually restoring Pick and Pay to its rightful place? It is still an extraordinarily loved brand in this country, and that is why we have such pockets of excellence across the business. But unfortunately, we have some other pockets where things have really fallen behind, stores have been underinvested in, and where we haven't kept up to pace. We haven't kept up to pace in terms of the management and leadership teams across the length and breadth of the country. And as the company has debilitated over these years and has gone about reducing the expense and overhead in order to try and survive, well, it's lost its momentum. And we all know in business that momentum ultimately is your friend. And without momentum, you cannot save your way back into prosperity or into safety. So what we've done in terms of the Boxer listing and the portion that we will list the Boxer is we've worked out what we need to take off the table to achieve what it is that we have in our business plan that we shared in May this year, and to be able to achieve that, yet still have a controlling stake in Boxer, still be a part and parcel of Boxer's future growth, which is going to be extraordinary, and still to be able to walk a journey with them. But I think from a Boxer perspective, and we can talk to Merrick a bit more about this just now, you know, when I was given the task of having to go last December and sit down with Merrick and tell him life's about to change, buddy. I said to him, no, Merrick, in a way, it's actually poetic justice because Boxer so deserves its own place in the sunshine. I mean, it has grown into this extraordinary business from sort of just under 40 stores when we bought it from them 22 years ago, and Merrick was CFO and Hugh was the then MD. And if you have a look at how Boxer has just grown on its own and into this beautiful business that it is today, it's actually justice that this team should really sort of stand up and take its own place in the sun.
So you're a Boxer man, Merrick, rather than a Pick and Pay man.
Absolutely, Alec. I have done 31 years at Boxer. You know, joined the business when we had just 5 stores. We were known as the Zululand Cowboys. So literally, you know, seeing the business grow each step of the way. I mean, going back to 2002 when we met Sean for the first time as CEO, you know, this was a real eye opener for us. You know, we were a small regional business with 30 odd stores, mainly in KZN and the Eastern Cape. And yes, every 5 years, this business seems to, you know, change completely. You know, people have asked me, how do you stay for 31 years? But it really is a different company every 5 years. We've evolved the model substantially from those early trading days and trading stores up in Empangeni in the main. It's been a real adventure along the way. And, you know, certainly, you know, a company that's full of entrepreneurial spirit.
Well, I have an advantage of knowing Mickey Goss. I know his brother Pat, who clearly was boxer, and Pat's father, if I understand correctly, was where it all started.
Yes, correct. The Goss family were traders down in the Sikisiki. You know, when I joined the business back in 1993, Pat was a quarter shareholder along with three other businessmen from KwaZulu-Natal. Along the way, we absorbed the Goss family businesses into Boxer, and those stores, which, you know, have a heritage of over 100 years, are still trading extremely well down in the Sikisiki, Port St. John's and Mthatha, and still part of our estate today. But, you know, Pat certainly taught us a huge amount when, you know, as young young individuals joining the business, and, you know, he taught us about you know, trading on the floor. I mean, we literally walked the floor of those stores, but also, you know, he instilled in us a real, you know, financial discipline. And, you know, through his involvement in bigger business in the banking world, you know, Pat exposed us to that and you know, instilled this discipline in the way in which we ran the business.
Pat Goss, one of the original founders, not in profile or in the headlights, of First Rand, with T.T. Ferreira, Larry Lippinaw, and Paul Harris. Sean, I can see why Marek's your kind of guy. You also a retailer, 20 years, when you're 20, well, you joined Pick and Pay, if I recall, when you were 20 years old. So you've been right through the, it's like, hey, half a century ago. And now here you are.
50 now, years.
Back in the
50 years. But I'll say one thing Pat. I'll say one thing for Pat. And I mean, Marek knows in those early days when we were running around and we were sort of going through the courtship phase of trying to convince him to sell to us in Pick and Pay. Pat is a tough guy because he still squeezed an extra bit of money out of us at the end, Marek, when we did the deal. But we have no regrets. It's been absolutely phenomenal. And I, you know, for me personally, I just get so much own personal pride when I actually have a look at Marek and Hugh and Eugene Strip. And I just look at the team of people that have built that company and what they've done. I just get an enormous sense of personal pride and love for the guys there and the girls in that team. It's just been phenomenal.
But how was it possible that you didn't get contaminated, Marek? And I'd love to get Sean's thoughts on this too, by the decline that was happening in Pick and Pay.
Right back in 2002, when you know, Pat and Sean and the two leadership teams were discussing the deal, you know, there was a promise made by Sean at that time that Boxer would be left as its own business, you know, retaining the culture that had been instilled in us from those early days, and you know, that was absolutely followed through the various CEOs at Pick and Pay over time. So we've, you know, sometimes had to fight quite hard to retain our independence and our culture. But, you know, ultimately, you know, the results of the business and the growth that we showed spoke for itself, and that won the day. And there obviously had been conversations about joining the businesses at various places, whether it's in IT or acquiring at Till, etc. And we obviously, you know, we unashamedly take the advantages where we can and retain independent where it suits us. And credit to, you know, each CEO in turn at Pick and Pay has allowed that to happen.
You've had a lot of them since Sean.
Yes, absolutely. And we've learned from each one. And, you know, all I can say is that, you know, Pick and Pay has been our biggest supporter and encourager over that time.
As I see, Sean, he's been well-trained. He's going straight into this media story now, got all the answers. But it's that sounds, and I get it. You know, that's like first level, no problem. But Sean, when you're the CEO of the group and you've got a wholly owned subsidiary and you want things to happen, yeah, you know, we decided in 2002 that you guys would be independent. But actually, I want you to do X, Y, Z. How did they manage to stay away from that?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you.
It's very simple, Alex. You know, Raymond always taught very, very strenuously from my youngest days when I joined this company, the principle of decentralization and being able to really, really, you know, the old story about think globally and act locally. You actually need to think locally as well and act locally. And it's one of the things that's actually led to the demise of Pick and Pay, sadly. Was this breaking down of one of the fundamental founding principles of Raymond's in the business. And I think that most probably cut to the heart of a lot of the demise of Pick and Pay. And I just always believed that Boxer just had such a distinct culture of its own. They trade in a completely different way to the way that we trade as a company philosophically. And you just can't mix the drinks, you know. It's like having lion dancers and then sending him off to go and watch a ballet. You know, it doesn't work like that. You know, rock and roll is rock and roll and classic is classic. And these boys are rock and roll, that's for sure.
Or line dancers, Marek. I'm sure that isn't an analogy that you'd like. But it does tell you that that there's something special about this company. Even though you've been part of Pick and Pay, the feedback we're getting from everybody is universally thumbs up that you've done just extraordinary things. You're going to be asked this question 100 times, but what's the secret sauce?
You know, there was a real poignant moment in our history going back about 10 or 11 years ago. And, you know, through the Pick and Pay leadership at the time, we were exposed and got access to one of the Polish soft discounters, Biedronka. And I think, you know, Boxer was at that time emerging from a more of a rural regional player, and we were starting to spread our wings a little bit. You know, we had entered other provinces, etc. But we were coming up against some solid competition, both in our traditional towns that we had started our business in, but also in the new territories we were going into. And we went overseas to go and have a look at different formats. We knew that our format at the time needed change. And we spent some really quality time with the leadership group at Biedronka, the Polish soft discounter, who very generously, you know, allowed us into their business. And we came back to South Africa and we made some significant changes to the model. The big theme at the time was simplicity of a model where we could instill a level of efficiency within the business and the way in which we run our operations, we run our supply chain, we run our head office support services, that sort of takes us to a place which is very difficult for other traditional retailers to reach. And that efficiency we able to pass back to the consumer by in terms of value, the value offering that we give. And I think that really set Boxer on this incredible growth opportunity. We halved our range of products in the stores from, you know, 7,500 down to 3,000 SKUs, and really focused on those SKUs that are important to the customer segment that we focus on. And I think, you know, those were the cornerstones on which we built our business since that time. And just this ability to be able to pass value back to the consumer in different ways.
SKUs?
products, individual products, stock keeping units, as we refer to that.
Stock keeping units. Okay. And I guess to get one in, if you're a manufacturer, given that you guys turn over nearly 40 billion rand a year through 489 stores, is not an easy thing. So how do you keep that clean? How do you make sure that the manufacturer hasn't got somebody out there who's doing a number on your buyers?
I think, yes, you have to be extremely disciplined when you do have such a narrow range, and it is very disciplined in the way in which we run our stores. Every store has been planogrammed, so there's only space for the products that are part of that range. So literally, if you want to bring in a new product, you have to take one out. And I think the core of our range is quite consistent, but we do play around on the edges. And really, what drives that is volume of the product, acceptance or love of that product by the market that's out there, because it just talks to the theme of volume, efficiency, velocity of product through the chain. That's what ultimately drives the decision.
I did some numbers, and from the time that you were acquired by Pick n Pay, in real terms, you were bought, at the time you were doing 800 million turnover. In real terms, i.e. taking inflation into account, that would be 2.5 billion today. So let's take that as a basis. You're now doing 37 billion in turnover. 20 years later, that's real growth of 14.5%. I don't want to get too complicated in this, but it means that every year you're compounding at 14.5%, which is extraordinary. But by the same token, your stores have been compounding at 14%. So it's almost like when I look at the company, you need new stores, or your new stores have been growing at the same rate as your revenues are growing, which would suggest that into the future, how many new stores can you actually put into this country if you've got 489 already? And to me, that's the secret for the forever stock in your portfolio.
Yes, I mean, the growth is an important part of our strategy, but the real health of your business comes from the underlying, like-for-like growth that you're able to generate. And I think that's also been consistently, at a good level, above the market, et cetera. But Adekyot, I mean, to your point, of our now 500 stores that we have in our state, about 300, just over 300 of those are actual supermarkets. We believe our market share is a modest just over 4% of the formal retail market. So we believe that there's a long runway ahead, and being a smaller player with a smaller footprint actually gives us that opportunity for a longer runway.
Sean, stepping away from your relationship with Boxer for a moment, who would Boxer's major competitors be, and what do you reckon Marek and his team, what their chances are of continuing to eat away market share from them?
Well, obviously, a major competitor would be ShopRite and USave, which sits under ShopRite. And if you look at Boxer, it kind of sort of clips in between USave and ShopRite philosophically as an offering. So they're very targeted in what they do. And they've stayed true to their cause. If you have a look at the growth in the demographic that's taking place in South Africa, population-wise, over the next 10, 20, 30 years, Boxer sits absolutely in that space where it can compete. And here's the interesting thing. We've just now done our first new center that's going to be going up. It'll open in about 3 years' time. But we are co-anchoring between Pick n Pay and Boxer because Pick n Pay definitely still has a huge appeal in all of those markets across the country. You know, if you actually go and have a look at the research there, Pick n Pay is still the preferred brand name. In all of the high density markets, the township areas. We're opening up in Sosh week after next. Bonnie, our franchisee there, is opening a new Pick n Pay in Sosh and Guve. And we were always in Sosh and Guve, but unfortunately, the focus was taken off the stores. We had this really, really poor thought about QualiSave been able to compete in those marketplaces. The people were highly offended, and I absolutely don't blame them. The markets and those population groups absolutely want their Pick and Pay. So I think between Pick and Pay and Boxer, we have a clear identity of how we trade, how we go to market, and we can live fantastically side by side as businesses.
Again, for those outside of the retailing industry, what are the differences if you are comfortable that they can both be in the same area?
So if you have a look at what Boxer sells, as Marek says, it's a limited assortment store. They're very, very tight on how they control their ranges in the stores and how they go about it. We are a far broader assortment store in Pick and Pay. We tend to focus more on the leading national brands that still have a lot of favor in all of those marketplaces. You know, if you go to the butcheries, for example, where Boxer focuses very, very clearly on the elements of meat that they focus on and the kind of cuts of meat that they focus on, Pick and Pay would be slightly different, you know, similarly in bakery and in other service areas and stuff. You know, one of my real sort of light bulb moments, for lack of a better term, in like when I came back in December, I did about 120 stores across the country in December because I wanted to appraise myself of what had happened to Pick and Pay in the 15 years since I'd gone. And when I was in the Salmon Thule Mall in Katlehong, and I walked in the mall, I mean, there's a beautiful brand new shopping mall there. We've got Pick and Pay, QualiSave on the left-hand side of the center, Boxer in the middle, and ShopRite on the right. And Pick and Pay with QualiSave is trying to sell exactly what Boxer is selling. I mean, just nuts, just absolutely nuts. So, you know, I think in life, when you've got a poor strategy well executed, that was the problem that we had. To a large degree. So I don't agree with you, Alec, about the weeds. You're very mistaken, my friend.
It's not a point of view. It is a devil's advocate question. And what happened in that shopping center where you had QualiSave and Boxer and ShopRite? Who was winning the consumer's heart?
Our store was also trading quite well. I think at Boxer and ShopRite, we're doing volumes ahead of us because the people that came to Pick and Pay still, even though they saw the major QualiSave with Pick and Pay, when they came to the store, they weren't seeing the range that they expected to find in a Pick and Pay. You know, our expense structure by its very nature is somewhat higher than Boxer's as well. So, you know, you're operating in a lower margin market with a slightly higher expense structure. You know, it doesn't take long to work out that the maths is upside down. So, you know, these are all of the things that you're dealing with quietly in the background. You know, as I've said to you, Alex, for one of the challenges that we have is just dialing out the noise. And there's so much active interest in Pick and Pay, understandably, at the moment. What is happening? What's going on? Can it survive? Can it this? Can it that? You know, we just have to keep our heads down. We know where our North Star is. We know the journey that we're on. We know that we have adequate funding in place to achieve that we need to achieve. And that's the journey and the mission that we're on.
And it seems like you're in the same place, Marek. It's a heck of a lot of noise at the moment with your listing. There's going to be all kinds of new questions asked. I've been told that 80% of a chief executive's role nowadays, might just be in America, is dealing with investors. Hopefully that won't be your experience as well, but to keep your team's head down, not to go and you know, calculate every day what they're suddenly worth through all the shares and the share options that they have.
Yeah, absolutely, Alec. And I think, you know, that's the new world that we've got to adjust to. And I must say, I'm very anxious to get past next week and get into the stores. We've got a lot of turnover to do over November and December. You know, next week is potentially the busiest trading week of our entire year, with Black Friday next Friday, and it's being set up well by payday being on Monday. But you know, absolutely to your point, I've got a very focused and operational team who in the trenches every day. And then, yeah, maybe just to go back to that discussion on Salmon Thule, because I think that is a great, you know, case study in point. You know, that center was anchored by ShopRite and Pick and Pay for many years. And Boxer went in there, you know, literally in the last two and a half years. And it's been an absolute success, I think, for the entire center. I mean, my view is that bringing Boxer in added another dimension to that center. It landed it as a destination point. And although we don't have, you know, access to opposition figures, I wouldn't be surprised if their turnovers actually went up as well as a result of Boxer coming in. And I mean, I think certainly, Sean, you know, that Pick and Pay store is also on the up and trading extremely well.
What are you going to miss about being wholly owned by Pick and Pay?
I think, you know, life carries on, you know, for us, apart from this new public aspect that you know, we've got to deal with, myself and David Wayne, our CFO. I mean, I think that we've got a very focused strategy. You know, it's not a new strategy that's been brought in as a result of the listing. It's a strategy that we've been on for, you know, a number of years. So I think, you know, we just want to focus on extending our footprint and making ourselves a better and more efficient business. You know, I think the South African grocery sector is extremely competitive. It's you have to literally be on your game on a daily basis. I mean, as I say, we get a report card at the end of every day in the form of our turnover versus budget and versus last year, and that serves as a you know, huge motivation you know, for us every day.
But you never answered my question. What are you going to miss about not being a wholly owned subsidiary of Pick and Pay?
Look, I think it carries on. You know, Pick and Pay, as I said, is our biggest supporter. I mean, Sean and I go back, you know, 22 years. I think, you know, that's added a great dimension to our business, having Sean back. You know, he taught us a lot about retailing back in the day. As I said, opened our eyes to a bigger picture world. You know, Pick and Pay continues to support us. So, you know, we aren't reliant on Pick and Pay on a day-to-day basis. We never have been. So it's actually not a significant change in the way in which we manage our business. I think, you know, one of the new things of being a public company is we have a brand new board in place, a new independent board of directors. We have two representatives from Pick and Pay, Sean and James Formley, who's the lead independent at Pick and Pay. Sean and James will be our chairman of Boxer. Sean, a non-exec. And then we have five independent non-execs who obviously have no relationship with Pick and Pay and are squarely, you know, focused on the growth of Boxer, and then two of us from within Boxer. So, I mean, I think that is an adjustment because we were very much left to our own endeavors under Pick and Pay. So, you know, that, you know, we look forward to what each non-exec brings to us in the business. They've all got different skill sets and expertise. And we really enjoyed having that independent view being given to us.
And your chairman, why was he selected?
James, I must say, we're really happy to have James as our chairman. James has been the lead independent at Pick and Pay for, I think, the last 2 years. I mean, you know, hugely experienced in the world of finance, and probably brings it to Boxer a level of sophistication that maybe we lack in that, us being, you know, very much on the ground and operationally focused. I mean, we're delighted to have James as our chairman. Maybe Sean can give a Pick and Pay this thing.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because he's a good guy, former CEO of RMB, a financial guy though, not a retailer. Sean, so what was the thinking there?
I think the thinking, as Marek says, you know, in setting up Boxer now as a listed entity in the stock exchange, I think to have it in the safe hands of James as chair, there's an enormous amount of experience that James brings to the business there. From a retail skill and expertise, I think it certainly, there's obviously a strong skill within Boxer. I would think that I would continue to augment that and see that that remains. And very importantly, there are two things, Alex. Is it one thing I see my role as being the person, as the Pick and Pay representative on the board there at an NED level, to ensure that that independence does remain for Boxer, yet at the same time that we ensure that where there are opportunities where we can be doing stuff together, that that remains and that we continue to do that. So that's a very important thing. And also what people don't understand is in the structure of a Boxer, you know, in the past, we would usually be flowing up 70 to 80% of the cash made in Boxer and the divvy would have flowed straight up into Pick and Pay. We've now said only 40%. So we've structured Boxer as a growth vehicle and as a growth entity. And that's why we're leaving the cash in the business to grow. So that is a very, very important point to make. And one other thing, I want to speak about culture. So here we are next week. We're going to be having this awesome occasion on Thursday where Boxer is now going to be in the JSE and they're going to blow the kudu horn and everybody who's been a part and parcel of this process. As I say, our extensive and expensive advisors, of which there have been many in this process, all want to be there as part and parcel of this. And they were busy lining up a wonderful banquet for Thursday evening and a massive celebration to mark this occasion. And the reply from Marek and his team was very simple. No, guys, we'll have a little cocktail party on Wednesday evening. We'll blow the horn on Thursday and then we will be out of there because we're going to stores Thursday afternoon because Friday is Black Friday. We ain't got time for dinners. And that comes to the culture of the company.
It is one risk, though, from a Pick and Pay perspective that I'd like you to address, a little bit like potentially the NASPAS risk, the NASPAS situation, where NASPAS is worth less than its investment in Tencent. If Boxer is as successful as we are believing or hearing about, is that not a potential risk for Pick and Pay, that you'll kind of lag behind and that Boxer would go forward and eventually your market value at Pick and Pay will be a discount to that of what your shareholding in Boxer is?
Well, I mean, if you have a look at the reality of that, Pat, Alec, you know, when I returned at the end of last year and we had a look at the numbers, and then it became apparent that we would have to look at listing Boxer in order to get ourselves out of the hole that we were in, for lack of a better term, I shared with the board that at that stage, that Pick and Pay bare naked, which is what it would be, once we gave the disclosure of Boxer and it was hived off, so to speak, that Pick and Pay wouldn't be looking particularly attractive for a while. But be that as it may, you know, it is what it is. And it's the reality. And, you know, the truth in life always sets you free and it makes things much, much simpler. So we know exactly what our realities are. It's just that other people are finding out about it now. So for some people in the market, they sit there now. I mean, a few weeks ago, you know, there was a negative valuation of Pick and Pay of sort of 10 to 15 odd billion. And you'd ask yourself, what I mean, could Pick and Pay ever be worth negative 10 to 15 billion or 9 billion? Well, it's narrowed a bit now because the share has done particularly well in the last little while. But I mean, there's still a hefty negative equity in Pick and Pay that's currently imputed. And that's because the market just won't put a value on it. So, you know, the conundrum facing everybody in the moment, and we were at the SA CEO two-day investor round show, round robin show in London last week. Marek, you'll be on that next year as well, no doubt. A lot of fun being interviewed hour after hour after hour by people that have got more questions than there are answers. It's bloody marvelous. Well, at least we got to go to Twickenham on Saturday and have a great outcome there. But you know, what happens at the end of the day, and the question is what is the value of Pick and Pay post this process? And, you know, how is it that Pick and Pay gets out of its current situation it's in? When does that trajectory turn around? When does it move back into profit? And, you know, those are all of the challenges that we currently face and deal with on a day-to-day basis. And that's why, you know, our team within Pick and Pay, so to reestablish again in Pick and Pay, the culture that's in Boxer, you know, these things take time, Alex. You know, you've got to re-get a management team together. You've got to re-get a belief. You've got to instill confidence back into a team again. A sense of You can win. You can get this thing done. And when I have a look at the growing confidence and capability within the team, it's just heartening to see that day by day by day, it grows incrementally. And I think, you know, I mean, the feedback that I get from manufacturers, so I've been doing a lot of one-on-one meetings with all of our major suppliers. And it's been repeated many times, but a couple of weeks ago, I had one of them in my office who said to me, you know, Sean, I was dealing with Pick and Pay in the tail end of your time there. And I never dealt with you because you were already CEO. So I wasn't, you know, it was way after your days as a buyer. He said, I can tell you this. It's the first time in over a decade that I have walked into Pick and Pay offices and seen people in there with a smile on their face, a positive gait in their step, a view of the future, confidence. And for me, that was one of the best pieces of feedback I've ever received. And I've had it so many times now because I'm busy going through a raft of one-on-one interviews at the moment with all of our major suppliers at the moment. And I'm getting the same feedback from all of them that they can see that it's just building and building and building.
We're getting that feedback too. It's taken a while though. It wasn't immediate. And I suppose that is to be understood. But from a value investor's perspective, you're looking at Pick and Pay now, you're saying, well, I'm buying Boxer at a discount and I've got an option on Sean Summers actually fixing Pick and Pay. That's the way the market's looking at it. You're giving us confidence with the feedback that you're getting, Sean, but on a culture level, and I think it's a good place to close, is that you like to talk about the people. You mentioned many times that it's those 92,000 people that actually matter. The stuff that's on the shelves, not so much. Are you getting rid of those in the business? You said to me at the nightcap at the BizNews conference that there are two types of people. There's the type of people who give and the type of people who take. And I recall you saying that that was a bit of a challenge that you had going back into Pick and Pay. Are you managing to either change those who take into givers, or are you actually being able to get rid of them?
There are a few that have left who didn't quite share the vision that we had of the business. So I wish them well in finding somewhere that they can find somewhere that shares their vision of the future. And they've left us. But, you know, in the main, what we have built up is I brought some select skills back because there are specific retail skills that are only learned with time. And there were people that had left the company that sadly should not have left the company, because people leave people, they don't leave companies. So we managed to get some select people back. But, you know, Wendy asked me the question when I came back, because she said, Sean, how are you going to do this? Because, you know, a lot of the people are left Pick and Pay. And I said to her, Wendy, exactly the same way we did it last time. Ordinary people achieving the extraordinary, because we all get dressed the same way every morning, one leg at a time. And if you give people belief, if you give people an environment and a surrounding where they know that they have support from the top and people can buy into the vision that's there, they can see the journey that's on, there's no fear of failure, because, you know, failure is part of growing and failure is part of growth. You've got to fail fast, learn fast. And above and beyond all else, have fun in what you're doing. Feel a sense of pride in what you're doing. And that's what we're putting back into the organization. And that takes a bit of time, but you can feel it. It's just growing and growing and growing. And I feel it when I go around the organization. So it's heartening. I mean, people ask me, where do I get the energy from? And I can tell you, I haven't had a nap yet after lunch at my age. So in fact, the other day when I went to one of our major shareholders presenting our announcements when I left, I said, you guys are slipping. So they said, why? So I said, no, you didn't ask the major question, succession. So then, no, Sean, we're not talking about succession. So I said, you must look at the word. It's success. I said, we're dealing with the success piece first. We'll get to the little piece at the end. No, the succession piece obviously hangs around in the background. But the most important thing first is to make sure that the entity in and of itself is whole and sustainable and moving forward.
I got to ask you just one personal question, Sean, as we close up here. The story of Rose Blumkin, who I'm sure you know very well, the lady of Nebraska Furniture Mart, who in her 90s, her sons went to Warren Buffett, who owned it, and said, please, we got to get rid of Rose now. And he said, well, you got to do what you got to do. And then they got rid of her, and she opened across the street. And a couple of years later, the sons went to Warren Buffett and said, please, please, you got to bring mom back in with us because she's killing us. When you left Pick and Pay, when you saw what was going on at Pick and Pay, was there not just something in you that said, I can open up across the street?
Alec, no. And I'll tell you why my heart would never allow me to do it. There are too many people that I loved in this company. I still love the family. Raymond, Wendy, they were still a key part of my life. I could never do that. I could never, ever do that. If I'd gone and opened another store, it would have been in another geography. It would have been somewhere else. I would never, ever have said about that. I think that the animus and the feeling of bad that you create even in your own head and in your own soul is not good. You never, ever open business for that reason.
And from your side, Marek, you're going to have a heck of a lot of new shareholders. What would your message be to them as we close off this wonderful conversation?
I say, you know, it's obviously been a huge compliment to the business, you know, the interest that's been showed in Boxer. And you know, over the last 5 or 6 months, you know, we've interacted one-on-one. I've met a huge amount of new people in a world that I didn't really know existed or understand. But, you know, thank them all, those that are subscribing, you know, for an allocation of shares. Thank you for your confidence in Boxer. And I mean, I can absolutely say that, you know, we as a team are fired up to deliver and, you know, looking forward to the future.
Well, KZN's got another, or soon we'll have another leading JSE listed company. It needs one after the demise of Tongaat. You can't just rely on Aspen for the rest of your lives. But Durban-based Boxer, lovely to meet with Marek Masayada and Sean Summers, the chief executive of Pick and Pay. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.